Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Isn't that a temptation we have? Maybe not a temptation, but just because we're living in the moment, we sometimes forget. And then when the doubts come in and the wind blows, we forget some very major things he's done for us. It's good to remind ourselves continually to not forget all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit. How many of you know you were going to the pit before your life got redeemed? Amen. Who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, last week we looked at waiting on the Lord. It says God acts on behalf of those who wait on him, that is, expect in him, trust in him, have faith in him, looking for him to move, not just twiddling our thumbs as we wait. And so when we wait on the Lord, it says in another verse, I think it's Psalm 27, he renews our strength. And so waiting on him, expecting on him is an invigorating process. So that's our opening. I'm calling you to worship. Would you please stand with me? Let's sing, Lord, I lift your name on high. I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay. From the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Amen. The church is one foundation. Rachel was thinking of this song because she was looking ahead to the passage we were going to cover today, beginning in the opening frame of 1 Corinthians 3. And in that passage, it talks about, are you of Apollos? Are you of the Apostle Paul? Because they were claiming they were of this one and of that one instead of Christ. So it came to her mind that we should sing about the church's one foundation. It's Jesus Christ. So we're going to sing all four verses of this song. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is his new creation by water and the word. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. Elect from every nation, yet one o'er all the earth, her charter of salvation, one Lord, one faith, one birth, one holy name she blesses, partakes one holy. holy food, and to one hope she presses with every grace endued. Mid toil and tribulation and coma of her war, she waits the consummation of peace forevermore, till with the vision glorious her longing eyes are blessed, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest. Yet she on earth hath union with God the three in one, and mystic sweet communion with those whose rest is won. Oh, happy ones and holy, Lord, give us grace that we, like them the meek and lowly, on high may dwell with thee. Now this song, you love it, I know you do, in advance, but blessed assurance, when you first start singing it, Jesus is mine. He's not just some concept, he's not just a word that I say, but he's mine. Let's sing that together. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of blood, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior and happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Amen. You may be seated.
Let's go before the Lord then. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your great love for us. We thank you for the salvation you've given to us so full and free, Lord. And Father, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ, for the prayer support we get, for the fellowship we get, for all you do through each and every one of your children, Lord. We thank you and praise you. Father, we thank you for and praise you for Lynn's brother, that he's still going, Lord, and that he's gaining weight now, that things have changed around for him because he did have another problem. And Lord, we pray that you continue to be with him. And Lord, we ask that you would heal him from this cancer too, if you would, Lord. And Father, we just pray for each one of these cases, Lord, that they would continue to rely on you, Lord, as we do when we're struggling, Lord. We pray for Peter, Lord. We thank you for the progress he's made and for how close he's getting to his fulfilling his dream and getting to Phoenix, Lord. And we do pray that he gets in Wednesday, which would be his 100th day. And Father, that you would continue not only to keep him safe in his travels, but continue to put people in his path that he can relate to, and especially someone who will share a testimony of Christ with him, Lord. We pray for his salvation, and we pray also for the reason, the purpose that he made this trip is raising money for this place that helps people with a place to stay when their loved ones are in the hospital, Lord. And we pray for Gil's cousin, Doug, and we praise you, Lord, that the doctors gave him a couple of months to live, and it's been a year now, and he's still doing good, and the worst part was the chemo, Lord. We pray, Father, that if you will, that you will heal him completely, Lord, that his story will encourage others, Lord, and that he will continue to follow you. And we also lift up Sharon's cousin to you who has COVID, Lord, and we know of others also that are fighting this disease, like Pam's friends also. We pray for them, Lord, that you would not allow this disease to put an end to their lives, Father, but you would help them fight through it. And Lord, that you would give them the victory. Father, there have been so many who have died from this, and yet it's taken such precedence in our country too. And we pray, Father, that you would alleviate the fears that so many have, that it stops them from going anywhere or doing the things that they would enjoy or even visiting with family, Lord. We pray, Father, that you would make sense of this disease and override the fear that has been sown. And we pray, Father, also for Wayne. Lord, we know that he's been struggling a long time with this disease, and we know that it is a progressive one. But Lord, we pray for your continued watch care over him, your support for both he and Pam, Lord, and that you might keep them together, Lord, as long as your will allows, Father. And Lord, help them to keep their eyes fixed on you. We ask that for all of us. And Lord, I want to bring up also to you the people in places like Afghanistan, and especially Afghanistan right now, where many of our brothers and sisters are living. Some are there because of their resolve to stay there, others because they were trapped there, and many others yet who may not be Christians but helped our troops, and their lives are all in danger, Lord. We pray for your hand of protection upon them, and Father, that also through Satellite 7 and Transworld Radio and other broadcasting systems, that your word will go forth in Afghanistan and work wonders in many thousands of hearts, Lord. We pray that you might even touch the Taliban, Al-Qaeda, ISIS, Lord, and open their eyes to the truth and turn their hearts to Jesus. And Lord, we pray that you will continue to pour out what's needed to these organizations like Satellite 7, to give them the help that they need to keep on the air. And we thank you, Lord, that you've gone before them and put them on the air in unlikely places like Iran and Turkey, Lord. We just thank you for the work that you're doing. We pray now for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ who are meeting this morning in various churches. We pray for your hand upon them, Lord, for your spirit to move in them. And Lord, we pray for Pastor Jay as he brings a message to us, Lord, that the power of your word through his lips will reach our hearts and keep our hearts open and in tune with you, Lord, as we grow together in Christ. We pray all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
I'd like to read the text for you today, just the first three verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? Father, we ask that you bless your word, that you open it up to us, that you would be with me as I speak these words, and that they would hit the spot both in me and in those who listen. In Jesus' name, amen. What an important inclusion in that prayer, both in me and in those who listen. If the preacher or whoever it is that might be teaching isn't changed by the words that are being shared, then you're just looking at an empty shirt. Although I'm filling this up pretty good here. I'm afraid to go like this because this button will pop. But you're looking at somebody that can't, you know, communication is more seen than it is heard. I don't know what the percentage is, but a greater percentage of what's communicated is in the person. So I stand here very transparently before you this morning. And my prayer as I encountered these words was that they would change me so that they have a greater chance of changing you. Now, of course, the Lord will supernaturally do what he has to do to create changes in you because this is his church. You are his people. But he opens here, he says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. People of the flesh. And he said, and as you go down further, he says, and even now you're not yet ready, right before verse 3 starts. And what he means there is he's already visited once. He's already sent a letter prior to 1 Corinthians being written. So there is a lost letter in the scripture, by the way, of the scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians 5:9. He makes an allusion to it. I'll just read that. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexually immoral people. In what letter? The letter that he sent prior to writing 1 Corinthians, which letter does not exist anymore. It's lost to history. So not only has he been there, not only has he written them a letter, but they're still on square A. They're still wrestling with the fundamentals of the faith. They still aren't ready for solid spiritual food. So I had to speak to you as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you're not yet ready. I want to turn your attention. The best commentator on Scripture, the best form of commentating of the Scripture or on the Scripture is Scripture itself. So turning over to Hebrews chapter 5 to get a little more light on spiritual food and milk. Hebrews 5:12 begins, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For verse 13, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice, to distinguish good from evil. And that's how you get ready for deeper things from God, and it is by responding to what's in front of you already. One of the things I struggle with, and I suspect maybe some of you do, is reading a truth and not immediately responding to it. And when I am deaf to a truth, when I reject a truth, it creates blindness. It doesn't happen immediately, so you don't discern it right away. But one of my best friends in Minneapolis was married to a lady who had a lung condition. And it got to the place where she was in the hospital, and it got to the place where the doctors were saying, your lungs have lost their elasticity. Over time, in her hospitalization, that's what occurred. Well, we talked about this last week. Leanness of soul is one of the things that happens. When I see a truth and I don't respond to it or I ignore it, I become lean. I become less flexible, less pliable. I become, over time, if I continue in that vein, insensitive as to my own spiritual condition. I don't know right from wrong as sharply as I used to. So that's what he's saying here in Hebrews. Unskilled in the word of righteousness is a person who's not discerning, they're not training, they're not constantly practicing, discerning with their perceptions, their skills of perception. One of the ways that the Holy Spirit works in us, he is encamping in us now in 1 Corinthians 6:19. We've looked at this many times, but it bears repeating. 1 Corinthians 6:19 tells us that the Holy Spirit lives in us. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple? Your body is a temple. The Holy Spirit, of course, dwells in the church. But here in 1 Corinthians 6:19, the scripture makes it clear that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You're not your own. The body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And his job is to remind you of truth, to cleanse you of sin, and to create his own fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, within your life. And he'll do that, but we have a job, and that is to yield to the Spirit of God. Greek scholar Kenneth Weiss says, the saved person is therefore not in the grip of the evil nature, but under the control of the Holy Spirit as he yields himself to him. The Holy Spirit is a person. You can choose to not yield to him. And then you'll find yourself not ready for deeper things of God. One of the fundamental things that many Christians even struggle with today is found in Mark chapter 1. Announced in Mark chapter 1. John the Baptist is in prison. Jesus begins his public ministry. John chapter 1, verse 15. Verse 14, was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. Verse 15, Mark chapter 1, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe. People always say or ask, when are the last days? The end times. Are these the end times? When Jesus came on earth, the kingdom of God, everything that needed to happen for the kingdom of God to the final consummation of things, our life here, etc., and the new heaven and the earth and all that, everything that needed to happen started. That's when things began to escalate. And so the great big period between his first advent and his soon coming in that big valley, we are in the end times. We live in the end times. And so he's coming soon, and he's coming for his bride. But in that verse, he says, repent, which means to change your mind. Say, Lord, I was walking under my own control. I was the sovereign of my life. I now, Father, by your grace, repent and give myself over to you. And so in Romans chapter 8, just to give us a little more flavor, and again, we're still just talking about those that are ready for deeper things of God, those that are still on on the fundamental, rudimentary things. Romans 8, verses 5 through 8, or 5 through 9. For those who live according to the flesh, that is those who are dominated by the flesh. Comes from a Greek word, kata, downward, dominated. Those who are dominated by the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. And those that are dominated by the flesh, that is, they're constricted. They can't think spiritual thoughts. They're not yet spiritual. So the individual being talked of or spoken about here in verses 5 and 6, 7, and 8 are not saved. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit, by the way, because they can. Verse 6, for to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For the mind that is set or subject to the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. They cannot please God. You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. Who has the Spirit of Christ? John chapter 14. I'm rabbit trailing. I didn't tell my wife all these verses. Hi, honey. Please forgive me. John 14. Verse 16. Da, 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 da. What did I do? Well, I'm in Acts. That helps. Hi. We'll get there. And I will, it says, I'll back up to 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 14, 16. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. So Jesus is leaving. He's going to give them another helper to be with you forever, he says. And again, the word another there, two words that can translate to the English word another. One is another of a different kind. And the other Greek word, the one that's used here, translating into the word another means another of the same kind. So I'm going to send somebody like me. Well, what is Jesus? He's deity. He's God. So the Holy Spirit, he's going to send God the Holy Spirit, who is deity. I'm going to send to you a helper like myself. That's why he said in another place, it benefits you if I go away, because then I'll send the Holy Spirit, who can essentially cover more territory than I. He'll be with you forever. Verse 17, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. In who? Those who repent and say and trust Jesus to be their Savior. Romans 10, 9, and 10. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. Who is saved? Follow the prescription. If you believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, confess him with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. And the Holy Spirit comes and occupies, as John 14 pointed out, a place in you, dwells in you. But he is not, as I've said many times to you before, he is not an action machine. It's not an automatic action machine where he's working without your permission. He's working in concert with you, hopefully. hopefully you're saying many times a day, Holy Spirit, help me. I have this train of thought. I'm about to commit this action. I don't want to do that. I don't want to have my mind clouded by that. Please help me refocus. I've told you many times, and it happened today when the alarm clock went off. I was thinking bad thoughts. We won't tell you what those thoughts were, but I knew this. I've learned something. I'm like King Saul. Remember when King Saul had an evil spirit, and then when David played the guitar, the spirit went away? I push a few buttons. I get onto Ligonier.org, and I push the Bible, the reading for the day, and it reads to me. And when that starts to read to me, guess what? My thought train cannot stay on the same track. Do what you have to do is what I'm saying to you to get your mind on the things of the Spirit. That's what I have to do. You say, well, Jay, why are you like that? You're the preacher. You're not supposed to think thoughts like that. I don't know. But I'm in this flesh. We've got to matriculate. We've got to go down the track of holiness. It says, follow peace with all men, seek peace with all men, and holiness without which no man or woman will see the Lord. That is our mission. We'll sometimes get sidetracked, but we have to quickly repent and quickly yield and get back into the proper frame of mind. So now I'm going to go back to the text. I think I'm done rabbit trailing 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you're not ready, for you are still of the flesh. And for while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? And so in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we looked at this, of course, when we opened. It gives us a little more light here. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. So this is where he starts the meat of his letter, amongst all of the issues that he's going to cover. He's primarily focusing on unity. It's the big theme of the book. Division amongst us is what kills our progress, ruins our reputation, and causes the Holy Spirit's work to be hindered. I was looking with a couple yesterday in the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. We were looking at, in other words, the love chapter, and particularly verses 4 through 7, 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Now, as I was reading this with that couple, I stopped after every phrase and I said, you know, that's me sometimes. And I said, and that's me sometimes. And this thing about rude, that's me sometimes. Arrogant, yeah, that's me sometimes. It does not love, though, insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Now, that's a test for you. Many of us, me included, we'll walk up on a cluster of people talking about so-and-so. And we participate in the conversation, which is the same as rejoicing in the wrongdoing. We lack the skill or the courage to, maybe we don't want to look like we're on the outside or that we're somehow judging them, so we say a few words to participate. But we need to learn the skill of walking around and bypassing that conversation. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. And I rue the days that I have done that, however, rejoiced in somebody else's wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. You know, Philippians tells us, Whatever things are true, think about those things. Whatever things are honest, think about those things. Whatever things are of a good report, think on those things instead of these other things. Does not rejoice in wrongdoing. Love, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 13, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. That kind of love doesn't fail. Bears all things, bears all the burdens. Doesn't say, "That's I can't do it anymore, Father." But continues to think about Jesus. Always when you think you're at the end, think of Jesus limping up that Golgotha hill. Think of him with that cross on his back. He didn't stop. Even when he fell and Simon the Cyrene had to help him get up, he still got up with him and he still kept going to the top of the hill. Think about that in your mind when you're ready to not bear all things. Believes all things. Puts the best construction on the motives of the person he's dealing with. Believes the best. Doesn't jump to a conclusion, which I've done so many times. The scripture says a fool answers a matter before he hears it. Before he sees all the evidence or hears it all, he's already given an answer. He's already casting his judgment. Putting the best construction on John's motives. Even though it appears that he must have had ill motive, I'm not going to make that judgment till I hear the information. Believes all things. It still may be that you had ill motives, but my position is to be other than what the world would do. My position is to maintain the idea that my brother or sister must have had a good reason. I will hear them out. Hopes all things. Hope. Hopes all things. Hope is part of faith, isn't it? Hope is part of faith. What are you hopeful about? Are you really hopeful? Do you really believe these are the end times? Do you really believe that Jesus will come back? Do you really believe that he will judge you? Do you really believe that now he's at work building a mansion for you? Or something like the Harbor Towers, as we said last week, you might be living together, but something for you. Are you really in belief that he's now sitting at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for you? Do you believe that?
Amen.
Amen. So you believe that, hoping for that, endures all things. We already covered that, but this is a hard life. Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble, right? Trouble's in the contract. That's not all that's in the contract, but trouble's in the contract. How many of you have had trouble this week of some kind? Anybody? Takers? Okay. And if I go back another week, I'll get the other half of the hands to go up. You just might have been given a holy vacation or something. So if we read and meditate and inculcate these words from 1 Corinthians 13 into our lives, we'll stay out of the mud puddles, we'll stay out of the divisive conversations, we'll stay out of the participating and rejoicing in the wrongdoing of others, and we'll be different. What the world is looking for are people that live differently. They've met plenty of hypocrites. Have you ever met a hypocrite? Professing Christian hypocrite? Yeah. Have you ever been one?
Not me.
Sometimes it's the hypocrite is us, isn't it? And so, but the world is dying. And so when you see all of these, the hyper nervousness over COVID, hyper nervousness, it shows up the greatest in people that don't know that they're saved. And so they think already that they have the secular mindset, which says there is no such thing as eternal life. So this is the whole deal right here. They will do almost anything to avoid it. I'm not saying pursue death, but I'm saying settle yourself, settle your position with the Lord. make it settled. He said, these things, 1 John 5:13, I have written, what things? The entirety of the first epistle of John, were written that you may know that you have eternal life. Not that you may guess, not that you may hope so, not that you may have to go ask the priest. Look at the scripture. He said, I want you to know that you know that you know. So what's in that epistle? Tests. How do you say that you love God whom you've not seen when you hate your brother who you have seen? Tests. There's 7 or 8 tests in the epistle of 1 John. Do you pass the test? And let's peradventure say that you fail some of the tests. Is it over? You're still drawing oxygen. Retake the test. Repent. Retake the test. When I am obedient to God's word, assurance of salvation not only begins to build in me the confidence, but as we've said so many times before, at the end, there will not everybody will that says, Lord, Lord, Matthew 7, will enter into my kingdom. And there'll be some fat preachers, no doubt. I hope I'm not one of them. Father, haven't I preached in your name? He'll say, go away, I never knew you. Didn't I teach Sunday school? Go away, I never knew you. I did so many stints in the nursery. Go away, I never knew you. I built things at the church. No, go away, I never knew you. I cleaned things. No, go away, I never knew you. Who is he talking about? He's talking about people who did not know him in a master-slave obedient relationship. I didn't know you as one who obeyed me. Of course I know you, I created you. But I never knew you as one that obeys me. Go away. I never knew you in the way that I require to know you. That's why that song says, trust and obey, for there's no other way, not only to be happy in Jesus, but to have him have you step to the right instead of to the left. Father, thank you for your word and this time together with your people. I pray, Lord, that we would just take this word and imbibe it and live by it. Correct any thoughts in our minds that aren't right. Holy Spirit, thank you for taking up a permanent dwelling within us. Help us to give us the grace and the courage and the strength to say yes and to lean on you and to obey. In Jesus' name, amen.
It's the closest day we've been to his return. Let's sing soon and very soon. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for being our King. Father, we look forward to that eternal life that you promise us if we put our faith in you. So we thank you so very much as we wait upon you. Help us, Father, to live our lives that are pleasing to you, that we might recognize good, we might recognize evil, that we can live our lives on that good side, that people will see you within us. Father, help us to yield to you. Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit, that as we walk along our way, Father, that the Spirit guides us and we listen to him. And that our minds might be set on the Spirit and not this fleshly body that we live in. So, Father, we ask for the presence of your Spirit. Father, as Christians, give us unity with each other. Father, as we become stronger in our faith. And we want to thank you for that example of love that you give us through the cross as we celebrate communion, as we remember that you loved us so much, that you gave us your Son, that Father, that we might live our lives according to that love. Be with us now as we close our service today and go our own ways and keep us safe. And we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.